Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast's Weekend Edition, our news team's weekend preview of upcoming IPOs, earnings reports, conference presentations, investor days, FDA decisions, Barron's mentions, and other key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Today is January 26th, and I'm your host, Rena Sherbel. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. The tech sector steps into the bright lights this week with Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, and Amazon all due to report during a heavy week of earnings reports. The tech giants are largely seen needing to top earnings and guidance expectations to shoot higher in the near term following a blistering few months of share price gains. Near the end of the week, Caterpillar will do the heavy lifting for the industrial sector, and ExxonMobil steps out for the energy industry, while UPS will issue its State of the Economy assessment. There will also be riveting updates from Boeing on the 737 MAX and plans for the 787 Dreamliner, as well as Altria on its Juul investment. Blazing hot Tesla will also report in the week ahead and could potentially deliver some news on the Model Y to go along with its 2020 guidance. Across the Pacific, the Shanghai stock market is closed all next week for the Chinese New Year holiday, and the Hong Kong stock market is shut down from January 27 through the 28th. In earnings news, Ashland, Rambus, Juniper Networks, and F5 Networks report on the 27th. Apple, eBay, AMD, Lockheed Martin, Pfizer, and Starbucks report on the 28th. Facebook, Microsoft, McDonald's, Boeing, AT&T, Tesla, Cree, MasterCard, Mondelez International, and PayPal all report on the 29th. Altria, Coca-Cola, DuPont, Raytheon, Verizon, Visa, Electronic Arts, Nintendo, Biogen, Amazon, and UPS report on the 30th. Caterpillar, Honeywell, Chevron, and Exxon report on January 31st. The impact of the Wuhan coronavirus on China and perhaps the global economy will be a major focus next week as more updates come in. The outbreak has already negatively impacted companies like IMAX, Yum China, Disney, McDonald's, Luckin Coffee, China Eastern Airlines, and China Southern Airlines, as well as a large number of energy and travel stocks. Efforts to contain the virus are overlapping the important Chinese New Year holiday period, which means Macau casinos could see reduced traffic and lower gross gaming revenue for Wynn Resorts, MGM Resorts, Galaxy Entertainment, SJM Holdings, Melco Resorts and Entertainment, and Studio City International. Meanwhile, the list of healthcare names that have a spotlight on them as the virus is assessed includes Co-Diagnostics, Moderna, NanoVericids, Novavax, Gilead Sciences, Immucell, Athlon Medical, Inovio Pharmaceuticals, BioCryst Pharmaceuticals, Nabriva Therapeutics, Alpha Protech, iBio, and Lakeland Industries. The Fed meets for the first time of the year from January 28th through the 29th. The central bank is expected to hold rates after Fed officials signaled at the last meeting that they plan to keep interest rates unchanged for a while. The new rotation of voting FOMC members for 2020 includes Neil Kashkari, the Minneapolis Fed, Robert Kaplan from the Dallas Fed, Loretta Mester from the Cleveland Fed, and Patrick Harker from the Philadelphia Fed. BMO Capital Sal Guattieri said of the new lineup, "We're likely to see a slightly more dovish-leaning committee this year." And despite the lack of rate drama at next week's meeting, traders will still be watching Chairman Jerome Powell's press conference very closely to see how the FOMC plans to maneuver during an election year. Another area of focus will be the Fed's expansion of its balance sheet, which data suggests has supported cyclical and financial stocks at the expense of defensive sectors like utilities and telecommunication. In M&A news, shareholders vote on the Taylor Morrison-William Lyon Homes merger on January 30th. The go-shop period on the Francisco buyout of LogMe Inn expires on January 31st. Companies with M&A speculation hanging over them include Yeti, Columbia Sportswear, Expedia, and Gain Capital. Goldman Sachs will host its first Investor Day in New York on January 29th. Chairman CEO David Solomon and the senior leadership team will deliver presentations on the firm's strategic priorities. Kinder Morgan also hosts an investor event on January 29th, during which management will discuss the company's budget in detail. Other companies with events on tap include Aeroflot in Stockholm and Frankfurt on January 28th through the 29th, as well as Superior Gold on January 31st. The ReWork Applied AI Summit runs in San Francisco from January 30th through the 31st. The gathering will see real-life AI applications and case studies highlighted by companies looking to leverage AI to solve enterprise problems. Speakers on the slate include reps from Uber, Walmart, Facebook, Procter & Gamble, McDonald's, Pinterest, DoorDash, Target, and NASA. A biomed event in Paris hosted by Invest Securities could see some news break from a long list of European healthcare and biotech players. The list of participants includes AB Science, Actacor Biotech, Advisen, Aferis, Alligator Bioscience, Curadigm, Genfit, Genoscreen, Genoway, Pharmamar, Pharmaleads, Sambiotech, Theracleon, Transgene, and Valneva, among others. Nike is on watch with the World Athletics ruling body expected to tighten regulations governing shoe technology in reaction to the running records set by competitors using shoes for the company's Vaporfly brand. Nike's Vaporfly shoes feature a full-length carbon fiber plate underfoot that provides a propulsive sensation to help push the pace of runners. While the ruling will impact competitive running, recreational use and sale of the running shoes will be unaffected, and the brand could get a boost from the publicity. In taco news, Taco Bell is bringing back the limited-time offer on nacho fries next week and adding a buffalo chicken nacho fries menu item to the mix. Buffalo chicken nacho fries, for the uninitiated, are topped with shredded chicken, pico de gallo, sour cream, shredded cheese, nacho cheese sauce, and buffalo sauce. Hungry? This week in Barron's Mentions, the stocks and themes drawing attention in Barron's Weekly Edition. The huge opportunity in sport betting is broken down in detail by the publication. Diamond Eagle acquisition is considered a pure play bet on betting via its ownership of DraftKings. UK bookmakers William Hill, GVC Holdings, and Flutter Entertainment are also seen benefiting from the growth of U.S. gaming, along with MGM Resorts, Penn National Gaming, and Eldorado Resorts. HP is recommended amid the company's proxy fight with Xerox. Integrated energy companies are also given the nod, with Total, Chevron, Marathon Petroleum, Kinder Morgan, and Enterprise Products Partners called attractive for income investors. We end this week's Stocks to Watch with our single stock focus. Last week, Netflix reported earnings, and on Friday, Dalantha De Silva wrote an article about those earnings. The stock closed the week at over $353. Dalantha starts out here with describing what happened at the earnings. Netflix missed its guidance for U.S. subscriber growth, and there's much being said about this by both bulls and bears. There are a couple of reasons to believe that investors should not worry about this. Competition for Netflix in the U.S. is another thing that I'm not worried about at this point. The numbers released on January 21st, though, reveal a bigger worry for Netflix, which is not being talked about much. De Silva continues, when the company reported fourth quarter 2019 earnings, the shares fell 2% in after-hours trading. This was primarily driven by the U.S. subscriber miss, and since then, a few explanations have been provided by both bulls and bears to justify this or to claim that this marks the beginning of the end for the streaming giant. However, I believe there's a bigger problem that needs to be addressed. Can Netflix achieve growth in emerging markets like it did in the U.S.? I'm certain that growth will be achieved, but at the same time, I believe it won't be as spectacular as it was in the U.S. and that it would take much more time than it took in the U.S. as well. This leads me to avoid Netflix as an investor, not a consumer, and wait for a better opportunity. De Silva goes on. The U.S. is still the most important market for Netflix from an earnings perspective. The fourth quarter of 2019 was a very important one for both the company and the industry, as it was the very first quarter in which Netflix went head-on with the likes of Apple TV and Disney+. The result, however, was not thrilling for Netflix investors. The company added 420,000 subscribers in Q4 against its prior guidance for 600,000 subscribers. It's important to note that this guidance was well below the 1.5 million subscribers Netflix added in the fourth quarter of 2018, but the company still could not achieve this. This is the explanation given by Netflix in its latest shareholder letter. Our low membership growth in UCAN is probably due to our recent price changes and to U.S. competitive launches. There are a few reasons why I'm not worried about this, however. First, the target market for Netflix in the U.S. has still not been entirely captured by the company. At the end of 2019, there were 128 million households in the U.S., according to data from Statista. The number of households with fixed broadband access stood at 110 million, and the latest Netflix earnings report reveals that the company had around 62 million paying subscribers in the U.S. These numbers suggest that there are still households that Netflix can tap into. Second, a subscriber does not necessarily have to let go of one service provider to use the services of another. This is one of the biggest differences between over-the-top OTT services and traditional cable TV. This means that Netflix can still survive even if Apple TV, Disney Plus, and Peacock gain traction. In short, there could be multiple winners in this industry. The numbers reported on January 21st confirmed two important things about Netflix's growth potential outside North America. As anticipated, the company will continue to grow faster outside the U.S., and two, the profitability outside the U.S. is not eye-catching. The first point has become common market knowledge over the last couple of years, but the latter is something investors continue to ignore. While it's evident that Netflix earns much better revenue per subscriber in the United States and Canada, there's another important trend in the making. Netflix is failing to grow ARPU in its international segment. De Silva concludes with this. The U.S. subscriber miss has become hot news, but in all fairness, this was to be expected. There was no way that Netflix was going to gain as many subscribers as they did in the early stage of their business operations. The U.S. is increasingly becoming a mature market for the company, and the focus is on improving its numbers outside the country. However, that is when the company will face its biggest challenge, but not due to any lack of content or more than $14 billion of debt in its balance sheet. The game changer here is demographics. I am, however, not a Netflix bear. I do think that Netflix would overcome any form of competition in the long run and will make its presence felt in Asia, Europe, and Latin America. However, this will not be an easy task and will probably take much longer than what investors are pricing in today. Not to forget, the company is no longer poised to grow exponentially in the U.S. either. This means that the management would be prompted to guide for lower numbers in coming quarters and maybe years, which could lead to a significant decline in the share price before the demographic situation changes outside the U.S. and Netflix enters its second phase of growth. I'm a Netflix user and have been for quite some time now. I love the content that they come up with, so do my colleagues, but there's little reason to like the stock at the current market price. Even though I believe the long-term prospects for the company are positive, my analysis leads me to conclude that in the short to medium term, the share price will come under pressure from lower than expected growth. Overall, Seeking Alpha contributors skew bearish on Netflix, with 5 neutral, 5 bearish, and 1 very bearish. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thanks so much for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Alpha Trader, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great week.